Hey everyone, welcome to Brewed Business. I'm Ronnie, and I'm here with my amazing co-host Shelby.
That's me. We're two business owners who are flying by the seat of our pants, figuring things out as we go.
We're here to share our journey, keep it real, and show you that progress is always more important than perfection.
We've got real talk, tips, and plenty of those hold my beer moments.
So grab your favorite brew
and join us as we navigate the highs and lows of entrepreneurship.
Today we're going to be covering in-store events, why they're essential for brick and mortar stores, and how to create an effective way to increase foot traffic, build stronger relationships with your community, and boost those sales. So let's get started. Grab your coffee, grab your tea, and let's hit it.
Shelby, how has your week been?
It's been good. It's been a busy, busy week. What else do I have to share?
I had a meltdown this week, like a complete meltdown.
All right, so this is what happened. And I know I texted you about it, but I hadn't quite gotten into it. So we sell jelly cats, which are a really popular stuffed animal, and it has zip code protection. So for us, it's really important that we let people know that we have them. And we have them listed on our website so people could order them for in-store pickup or buy them online. So we got in a couple orders that I was like, oh, yay, we're selling them online. This is so great. Then we can just ship them right out. And I got this really weird feeling because the name that came across was Peter Parker. And my son is obsessed with Spider-Man. So I'm just like, haha, that's funny. But then I looked up the address. I put it in Google Maps and it went to a warehouse. And then I checked the phone number because I was like, I'm going to call them just to like see. Phone number doesn't work.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy, it is right. I then get a second order that comes through within 8 minutes. I'm like, this is weird.
From the same person?
No. So here's the thing. It's from a different person, but when you look at the transaction, so all of these transactions are technically under $100. The first one was like just under $100. The second one that came through had a gift card that they had purchased seconds before on our website for $99 and then used that gift card and a different credit card to purchase $175 worth of jelly cats. Yeah. So I was like, this is weird. It's a completely different person, completely different address across the country, different credit card, but using the same gift card that all this happened within 10 minutes. So one of my friends who owns a store happened to be dropping off some product because she sells some things in our shop. And I said, hey, have you ever had this problem with Square before? It's real, like, what do I do? How do I check if it's fraudulent? I don't want to lose out on the sale. This is almost $300 worth of sale between the gift card one that was $175 and the other one at like 90 something. And she goes, well, I don't know. I said, well, do we call Visa? So we try calling Visa, get on the phone, actually get a real person, which I was completely surprised about. And they say, well, we need the first 4 digits of the credit card so that we can see who issued the credit card, which makes sense because, you know, Visa doesn't just do credit cards by themselves. You know, MasterCard, the same thing. Sometimes they partner with like Kohl's or whatever. So it could be one of those cards. We're like, okay, well, we don't have the information because our point of sale system encrypts it all so that people can't just steal credit card numbers. Right. It's a security thing.
Well, it usually shows you the last 4 verses, right?
Exactly.
Instead of the first 4.
100%. So we can only see the last 4 and I can see that it's a Visa. I can't see where the zip code connection is or any of that. We then go, well, do I process this or not? Because the transaction went through. But then you're in an ethical moral dilemma going, well, I need the money, but I also don't want to do the wrong thing. And I want to make sure if this is someone's credit card, they're not getting screwed. So then I call Square. I'm on the phone for 45 minutes being bounced around to all these different departments, putting me on hold, going, let me look into this. Let me look into this. What happened? Tell me again. I've told the story 5 times to them.
Yeah.
It's technically 3 transactions. They're all just under $100. That's 3 different credit cards. Or yeah. No, it was 2 different credit cards because I could see the credit card that purchased the gift card. And they're being shipped completely different sides of the country. Both phone numbers on the orders, which are different, do not go anywhere. And the email addresses are kind of weird. And he said, well, if you have an issue with this, why don't you just cancel it? And I was like, okay, I can do that, which breaks my heart because, like I said, it's almost a $300 transaction. So then I'm in the process of trying to do it, and my employee upstairs comes downstairs. She goes, here's another order just came in. And within 2 minutes, another order came in. And they are only for jelly cats.
Oh, no.
And they are all just under $100. And they are all using different credit cards. They're all Visas. So all I can think of is this is some skimming scam. The problem is I do genuinely sell jelly cats to my customers, yeah. real customers. Yeah. But now I had to take them all off my site. So even my pickup people don't have that option. And I had to refund over $400 worth of transactions. For a store my size, $400 is a lot of money. Mm-hmm. A lot of money. And I don't know how many stores actually would have gone through all the process that we went through of questioning it.
Right, exactly.
I'm the owner. I saw this. What if I had a teenager who's working the store just going, this is cool, and process them. And then it gets all the way to the end of the thing, you know. And I checked because I've had previous Jellycat orders. And I was like, okay, let me just see. Did these all get delivered? Are they going through? And the last orders that we had with Jellycat that someone ordered and shipped got delivered. So the whole transaction's all the way through. And now I'm panicking. What if somebody comes back and says, we're gonna do a cash back because this was fraud? Then I'm out product.
Right.
And I'm out money.
You just
lost
all of the, So that's good that you did err on the side of caution.
100%. But then I have these customers who I post on our website. And they come in and they say, oh my gosh, I just saw that you posted the Jellycat popcorn one and I want to come get it. They wouldn't have seen it if I didn't post it. Mm-hmm. So now I have to say, okay, well, if you want a Jellycat, keep an eye on just our Facebook and Instagram. And then I have to send more emails, which is fine. But now I feel like I'm just, it's just so stressful as a small business owner because like Walmart and Target, like something like that happens to them. It's a drop in the bucket.
Right.
You know, it happens to us.
Yeah.
And that's a whole day.
Yeah.
Gone.
Yeah.
That's groceries for my family. Mm-hmm. And these credit card fraud people don't care. They're just checking to see if these credit cards work. Because in my opinion, I think it's probably someone doing a credit card scammer thing. And I posted on a gift shop online Facebook group where a bunch of owners are together. And I asked, and they said, yep, happened to me. Yep, happened to me. Yep.
Is it just Jellycats?
Just Jellycats.
So why it's almost like they're being targeted for...
They're being targeted, and I don't know if it's because it's a high-ticket item, because they're not cheap, but also under $100. Because that seems to be the threshold that I was seeing on all of those transactions.
Because it will go under wraps and unnoticed.
And Visa couldn't help us. Square didn't want to help us. And I don't know another point of sale system that would help in that situation. They can't, they won't do anything. Because I said to them, can you reach out to whoever owns a credit card? Because I can't see the numbers. And can you guys call Visa? And they're like, unless it's reported as credit card fraud, there's nothing that they're going to do about it.
Really?
I'm like, we can't be preemptive here. I know it's probably not triggering someone because it's just a gift shop in the U.S. And maybe it's somebody who... Like once the holidays come around, what if this becomes a thing?
They're using it in $100 increments, so it is. It's under wraps, so they're trying to see how long they can get away, but that's so scammy.
Right? And I'm like, this is terrifying for anybody who uses their credit. Like, the world is not paper anymore. It's all digital. Mm-hmm. So it's all these ones and zeros going across your computer going, oh, well, it's just gone. What do you mean it's just gone? I still need that money. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the other thing. Now I'm thinking if any of the other... transactions that we might have done in the past were part of this scam. What if we had one or two that was? Now there's Jellycats sitting in a box somewhere crying to themselves because they don't have a home. These poor Jellycats are homeless.
Oh.
So I don't know what to do.
So strange. But no, it's not. It's hard as a small business owner. I think people don't forget how much the overhead, how much we have to stock. And then with the holidays coming, you also don't want to give away your product either and then have it go out
to into nowhere.
Never land and never come back.
Yeah. Which I guess is why we need to focus on more in-store stuff.
Yeah.
But that is stressful too because not everybody wants to come out. Everyone's on their phones. And so how do you drive people into your store more?
Right.
How do you create that drive of saying, come on in, let's do something fun? We've done a lot of events lately to boost foot traffic and increase customer engagement and sales. We're lucky. We work with a lot of local artists. So for me, the thing that I find really helpful is doing classes. And I know, at least in our area, a lot of people are saying they want them, more experiences. Yeah. So we've been bringing in our artists and having them teach classes on what they make. So we have a felter that comes in, and that's fun. And then we do offer 10% off that night, if someone's at a class, they get 10% off anything they purchase, including future tickets. So that's really helped for us.
For your in-person events, how do you set up your shop so that you can have people come in and do the classes and then also shop?
Before COVID, we used to do classes, but I had closed off this one area, so we had plenty of room. And now the way my shop is, after COVID, I had opened up a certain area that no longer has the space I had. So I was up till midnight scrolling Pinterest and found this pin for this crate display. And I was like, I have to rearrange my store. I'm having a moment. It feels very stagnant. And so I rearranged our little crate display and moved a couple tables, removed a complete table to make more room in here. And so now I have enough space where I can put some folding tables. I think I max out at 11. We've fit 12, making the artist stand. So I can fit up to 12 people.
Wow.
For a class. We've done glass fusing, where the artists, they create their whole thing and the artist takes it back to their kiln and they fire it and bring it back. And then we do felting. So we can fit quite a bit of people in here. You just have to get creative. So I have one table on rollers that we shove out of the way.
Yep.
And then we have another like older vintagey table that I just have to be careful I don't have a leg fall off.
Yep. And then you have the foldable chairs. Yep. and the tables in store. So then you're able to do that. And then that's going to be great because then people are coming in. They're part of the community. They're grabbing a friend. They're coming in creating something. You get to shop in store while you're participating in an event.
People will be sitting here and they're looking around as they're making stuff going, "Ooh, that's cute. Ooh, that's cute."
Yeah.
And which is great because then I stay during the classes, obviously, and I'll create them little piles while they're looking, like, "Oh, I'll hold that for you and I'll hold that for you." And then while we're having the class, we also talk with the artist about any upcoming classes they're doing.
That's smart.
So we do that and then we offer 10% off everything. So then it's kind of a little of incentive to go shopping while you're
store.
Here, too.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. But it's fun. Still.
And so, then it gets you recircling. It's not like you're in and out on a mission to get a gift for somebody and you're on to the next thing. When you're in there, you can take your time. You can poke around. Even when we're in here, I get distracted by looking at all the pretty things. And I'm like, "Ooh, I didn't see that before," but you just never know. So that's a good idea.
Yeah. And I know you don't have classes over in your space. I mean, you and Lindsay share a space, so it makes it a little more difficult to be like, "Okay, now we got to fit more people in here."
Yep.
But what do you guys do?
So our layout, I mean, we've hosted meetings for the most part. We haven't done any workshops. All of our displays are against the wall where it's just out of the way. So you have more foot room. You can get in if you have to have the tables and chairs. We haven't been open to host meetings and do different things like that. But just creating the amount of foot room, and if you think about walkers and strollers and extra chairs, if you are hosting meetings,
that makes a difference. We're all in old buildings.
Yes.
So we already are struggling with smaller, more narrow doorways and narrow spaces. But you can also drive people in doing other things, too. It doesn't have to be a class or a meeting. I've seen you do First Fridays to drive people in, where you stay open late one night or during the holidays. How do you determine what audience that you reach out to? Who do you target, and then how do you create an event around that?
So our demographic is more adults. Like, we don't have a lot of kids things. We have gifts for kids, small things like that. It's geared towards adults. And then the holiday stroll will bring in beverages or snacks. Not a lot, because it's a lot of overhead and it adds up. But a little bit more of an incentive where people will come out if they're like, "Oh, I can have a little snack." So that's been one of those things where we'll find a small business to do catering or a big pile of baked goods. And then we have certain nights for ladies' nights to get people to come out and gather. So that's also a social thing where they can either grab a bite to eat before or after, but they can kind of get together and then take their time, chit-chat, explore.
I love the idea of a ladies' night because you can call up a friend and say, "Hey, I'm not doing anything tonight. I heard there's going to be snacks. Why don't we go hang out?" We have a lot of moms. I'm a mom. Mm-hmm. We drop the kids off at school and then we don't know what to do because nothing ever opens.
Right. Before.
Yeah, everything everything around here doesn't open until 10. So what do we do? And I've done a mom's morning. We opened an hour early and it was open to anybody. It wasn't specifically just a group. But it was intended to drive in moms after mm-hmm. you drop off your kids. Come in. I had coffee and muffins, and they had so much fun. And a couple stragglers, yeah. like people who didn't know about the event who just happened to be downtown, came in. I can't be open an hour early every day. I would love to. But for a special event, you've got these moms are looking for something to do. They want to socialize without their kids. Mm-hmm. Come on in.
Yeah.
Let's have some coffee and pastries yeah. and shop a little.
And then same with back to school, where all the moms have to get everybody into the routine.
Yeah, we need a little sanity break.
Yeah, yep.
I mean, you could do something. Say you have a yoga studio next door that you can partner with. Why not do a morning yoga and then after yoga, have them come over to your shop for some coffee and pastries and a little shopping?
Right, yep.
Like, what a great idea to get moms out and like in a kind of stress-free environment.
Yep. Lindsay, the woman I share our space with, she has a lot of books. So there's a lot of local authors too. Yeah. So hosting an event where it's like meet the author, get your book signed type of thing like that. Even if you're a specific maker were to do a pop-up, they could also offer a discount that day. The people who are a follower of their products would really enjoy mm-hmm. meeting or having that opportunity. So that could be something also.
Pop-ups, I think, are huge. And you have to make sure it works for you, too. You can't just do it and have no return. But, like, I've seen, there's one of the cutest ones I think I've seen is there's a shop downtown, and she had this really cute florist with this blue truck. Do you remember? She had it parked out front. What a drive to have a big statement piece in front of your shop, mm-hmm. and then people could buy flowers and shop at your store and have it as an event. It's not all the time, so it's special.
Mm-hmm. It catches your eye when you're coming into town, and you're like, what's going on over there?
Who do you have that you could bring in that you work with already that could do, say you have a local bath and body line, come do demonstrations.
Mm-hmm.
Come do demonstrations and maybe you give a discount on the product or do a gift set mm-hmm. that's exclusive to that event. That's fun. That mm-hmm. gets people being like, oh, let's like go out and have fun. Yep. Or there's so many things you can do to drive people into your store.
And even for littles, I know that there's wildlife encounter things.
Oh my God, I love those.
So then those are always fun too because they like to come and socialize and then also will draw a crowd and families.
Oh my God, could you imagine having like a snake in your shop? I don't know, that might deter a couple of people.
Yeah. One of those giant tortoises just roaming about. Yeah.
Oh my God. So speaking of tortoises, yesterday at my kid's school at pickup, 4 parking spots are blocked off. I'm like, what is going on? There's not that many parking spots. Come to find out, these little baby snapping turtles had hatched and were going across the parking lot, so the teachers were trying to keep them safe.
They
are
so
cute. And I can post a picture on our page.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so that's what it was. Yeah, yeah.
It was a baby snapping.
Is that a real turtle?
It was so cute. Like little claws and it's a little snapping
before it could even snap. Yeah, the baby before it even knows that this could take off your thumb in a several years.
Oh, yeah. Well, like a couple months ago, the big ones were out front and they were huge. I'm like, do not get close.
Yeah. There's a fun fact. We actually have a Russian tortoise as a pet.
Oh,
so
really?
So he's so cool. He's not that big. He's probably only like 4 or 5 inches. And we've had him now for like over 6 years.
So and they turtles last live
yeah
forever.
Oh yeah, they have turtle wills and they have like sanctuaries that they go.
What's a turtle will?
They'll outlast you. You have to pass on your turtle. So there's people who will
sense.
Even like the grandparent will give it to the grandkids to see to take on, and because they will outlast your lifetime. So it's crazy.
Oh my God.
I had an obsession with like the giant Silcutta tortoises, which are out in like warmer climates. Of course, we're in New England, so it's cold.
Can't have one of those.
No. So he's little, he's manageable, he's super like go with the flow. He doesn't need as much attention as like
you need to bring
a dog.
Him into your store.
I know, but that's just it. I'm like, oh, that's a good idea. We should. But yeah, I was thinking kiddos would be like, ooh,
and you could just like
he's so.
Oh my God, stop! Cool. I have so many ideas like little bunny ears during the spring.
Yeah,
we can do dress theme. Him up.
So his name is Hank, and he's so he looks so grumpy, but he's cool. He's just like mellow, stop. And he just keeps to himself. But yeah,
store pets.
But yeah,
oh my god, that should
not
be
your
thing.
Regular. Yeah, not your regular house cat or your furry little puppy dog. But yeah, he's so cool.
Well, that makes me think of something though. If you are a pet store or your dog friendly, why not do an event with pups? We had downtown a couple years ago, but it was called Halloween. Do you remember?
Oh no, but that would be so cute.
Oh my god,
they all dress up.
Yes!
Stop it,
it's the cutest
oh
thing.
Oh my gosh,
I'll post some pictures. I still have some. And they had a costume contest and there was little giveaways, and the best part was, so they have a trick-or-treat area, like
we might need
room.
To do this next year,
right?
This is a town
but Dover did this for years, and we would stand outside, me and my kids would stand outside with a table, and we'd hand out little cookies for
little
all the
treats.
Dogs when we did it, we had all individually wrapped cookies with a coupon on it.
Oh,
so
good.
so they could come back, and we actually did a scratch off. So what it was, we just printed all these things, put the discount underneath it, and you can get these stickers online on like Amazon that are scratch off stickers. They're just little circles, and just pop them over whatever you're writing the discount is, like free cookie or free candle, 10% off, 20% off. So they scratch it and then they reveal underneath.
Oh, very cool.
But then the doggies got their treats
their
too.
Treats. Yeah.
So
everybody wins.
Yeah, so they would walk this route and it would go by our shop. Yeah. With all the really cute dogs. Wow. Oh my god, like I can't. I wonder
if I was gonna say, then you can get the pictures. But that's a great way to tie in the community, bring the community in.
It was one of my favorite events that Dover did. It was a lot of people. Yeah. And people came in and shopped after because Dover also is dog friendly. So that's the thing, is it was a good connection to downtown, letting people know. Downtown Dover is dog friendly. Mm-hmm. These shops are dog friendly. You can bring your pets in, or they have dogs you can come see. So it was a really good way to talk about it and say, come bring your pet downtown.
Mm-hmm. And we have stickers on our front door saying that we are pet friendly. But I still see people today walk by and be like, oh, they are pet friendly. We advertise it. We try to post about it on social media. But I also think that makes a big difference when customers know that if they are out and about downtown walking their dog, that, oh, yeah, this can be part of the stop along the way and what we're doing. The other thing that we like to do is keep dog treats behind the counter.
Yeah.
So it's a good tactic. And then the puppies know. They're like, wait a minute. They'll put the brakes on to be like, no, we stop here. Don't you remember? And then that's a great tactic because that gets people in. And then it's just great. You connect with your community. I never put any pressure or feel like people have to feel like they need to buy something when they come in. But it's a great way for them to see what you have.
But yeah, I mean, it's good to know. So if you know your audience, I think that's the first step to figuring out an in-person store event is, who are you targeting? Because it's really easy to say, we'll just do 50% off the whole store. Well, who are you talking to? Mm-hmm. If you don't know who you're talking to, you can't drive that traffic. So niche down, figure out who you want to make an event for. Are you making it for the people who want to talk to a local author? And is it a kid's book or an adult book? What can you do to help promote that? And whoever you partner with, if you're gonna partner, make sure that they're telling everybody about it. Because I've done and the person I've partnered with has done nothing and then wonder why nobody shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a two-way street.
Yep.
And it goes the same thing for downtown events. We all have to pitch in.
Yep. And people have to see it. So your regular person has to see something, even if it's a product, if it's an event, over 3 times before they're like, okay, I have to have that. We think, we don't want to bombard people. We don't want to bother people. We don't want to feel oversaturated. We don't want to do any of that stuff, especially on social media with the algorithms and everything else. You have to. You have to show every single thing, event, promotions.
Emails,
weeks,
Facebook.
Weeks before. If you're working in collabing, you got to put in the effort way beforehand because time does fly by. And people are busy, so it's not personal. They're not seeing your stuff and being like, oh, hey, I'm purposely going to ignore that, or I'm going to forget about that event. But if it's not in their face multiple times, they will not remember.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the things I was taught a long time ago, is it's three. Mm-hmm. It's three touch points. So when you first open a shop, it can get super discouraging to be like, you get that first pulse of people who were just first-time shoppers coming in. But then as the years go on, you have to remember someone needs to come in three times before you should expect them to buy something. Mm-hmm. It's great if they buy before then. I learned this from the big box stores, is first time is just to check it out, second time's to get ideas, third time's when you shop. Mm-hmm. And it's not true for everybody, but your expectations need to be accurate. Mm-hmm. So you're not sitting there beating yourself up because you're like, well, so many people came in, but no one shopped. Well, maybe they were looking around. Maybe they were getting ideas.
Yep.
Maybe they're going to come back and get something. Great if you can make a sale, but make sure that you're still engaging with them, even if they're not buying, mm-hmm. so that the next time they come in, they're even more excited to come in.
And it goes right back to, if this isn't my cup of tea, I know somebody who would absolutely love this store. So...
yeah. And back to the events, we've seen about 3/4 of the people who are purchasing are more likely to buy something if they come to an in-store event. So if they weren't intending to come into your store originally, but they're coming in for an event, they're coming in with a purpose. Mm-hmm. They're not just wandering by, poking around, checking out. They made an actual effort to come into your business. They're most likely going to shop. So you should expect about 3/4 of the people who show up to your event to buy something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or tell somebody about it.
Exactly.
Somebody else about what you sell and what you're doing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. So before you have a brick and mortar, how would you...
how do you connect with... so Shelby, before you had your storefront, how did you get into people's faces?
So I would do as many in-person events as possible. I started in the vintage antique realm. So I would do pop-up shows. I got into doing that.
Are you talking about markets, or like, are you talking about going into other people's businesses?
Market. So I did a couple in the local community, like the next town over, Barrington. They did the community day, mm-hmm. where I did the pop-up. I had a 10x10 tent, had my product on display. Couldn't bring my whole shop, but I was able to bring enough. And then I also did a pop-up at a spa in Portsmouth. Mm-hmm. So then that was a nice way to connect the dots, where people are like, I love these products. Yeah. Where do I find more of them? Hi, nice to meet you. I'm Shelby. This is what I do. This is my products. This is what I'm about. Here's my aesthetics.
Do you set up a table at a spa?
Yeah. Yep. During that time. So that was inside. I had one little room. It was like a suite of where they would do one of their treatment rooms, but I was able to deck that out into a pop-up. So you walk in, you'd see the rattan shelving, you'd see the candles, you'd smell the soaps, you'd see the reed diffusers, you'd see the vintage drinkware. I remember even having small plants, my little accent plants, but I popped those up. So it was literally like, oh, this is a mini version of your shop. I had to get creative. I used my displays.
That's so smart, though, to partner with a service industry.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes we forget, like when we're in our own little bubble, there are other businesses that we could partner with, that we can go into their business and say, mm-hmm. this is what I have, especially during the holidays.
Yeah. Collabing is huge. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, yeah, service versus products, which is like, you're in your own lane and then you're just adding more and you're bringing more to your customers.
Well, and a lot of hair salons do not sell more than just their hair products, or a spa. They don't usually sell more than just their products. So if you can go in and give them another reason for people to walk in and see their business, yeah. check it out. Maybe it's an open house or something.
It was. So yeah, that was one of those things. So they had like mini versions of treatment. So it was a spa. So they had hand massages, and then you had one where you could do like a tutorial in makeup.
Oh my gosh, there was jealous.
Yeah, there were certain things. And then they hosted a local catering business.
Well, I always think about bringing people into my store. I always forget, you can go into other people's places to show what you have. Mm-hmm. Like, what a great idea to have a spa open house. Mm-hmm. They get to show what they have, but local businesses can say, hey, this is what I have too.
Right. That's another way to get on their radar, communicate, network, see, collab. And well, it's really your audiences that are benefiting.
And I also like, that benefit has mm-hmm. to be there, because I've looked into bringing in pop-up, like the permanent jewelry was so trendy over the summer in the last year, but you can't just have someone come in and not either pay you a booth fee to be there or a percentage of sales and just come in. That's not beneficial to both of you, mm-hmm. because like I've heard people say, okay, well, I'll just come in and people will just show up. Well, that's not kind of how it works. Like, we both would have to be promoting it. Mm-hmm. And if people are coming in just for that service and not something else with the store, who benefits at the end of the day. You need to make sure it's a mutual thing. There are situations where I think it's okay to do that. I don't know how she runs it, but I've seen there's a local caricaturist who comes in and she'll do the caricatures. Well, it takes a while to do them. So whoever's with your group can shop while you're doing it. Yep. That's a great option to have someone who's doing something different and special, but everyone else in your group still gets to poke around and shop while they're waiting for you.
Yep. And then on top of shopping, that they also get to take home the character.
And they remember where they were.
Exactly. And that's like a little memory, staple memory for them too.
It's an event that an experience. Yeah. So I think it's just you got to be creative and get out of your way of how to say, what can I do? It doesn't always have to be just a sale to get people in. But you need to know, you need to know your audience. You need to know how they're connecting with you. What are they looking for? What time of year is it?
Yeah, what's the season bringing?
I always love our holiday stroll downtown.
Yeah.
So Dover, we always have a holiday stroll and where all the businesses work together to get people downtown. We stay open late. We do holiday music. I do. I'm so goofy. There's these little porcelain. They're little porcelain figurines. I've done chickens, rabbits. I have nutcrackers, but I hide them. Do you remember these?
Yeah.
So I put a little SKU on them so I can scan them, and each of them has a different discount, whether it's a free candle, 10% off, 20% off, and I hide them around the store. And they're hidden where you can obviously find them. Like, my goal is not to be like, you can't find them. It's,
yeah, or turn my whole shop upside down so you find them. Yes, don't. So you have to be strategic on where you put them.
So we do these little nutcracker hunts during the holiday stroll, and then I continue it through the holidays, like late night Thursdays, where we hide them, and then people get have a little like, woohoo, I found one. I wonder what the discount will be. And so whatever they're buying, they bring to the register, bring the nutcracker. We scan it, let them know, did you get 10%, 20% off, something free, a gift? And then we put the nutcracker back out.
Yeah.
But all day long, people are looking for these nutcrackers. And it's fun and memorable.
Yep.
And last year, I felt so bad. I had somebody come in with their little kid, and they were like, where is it? Where is it? And I was like, it's the wrong day of the week. I'm so sorry. Oh, they were looking. They were looking for it outside the event hours. I'm like, I am so sorry. But it was nice.
But that's something, to look forward to, or bring the kiddos out, or say, hey, they're having this fun thing going on.
Yeah, and for the holiday stroll for us, I mean, in the past we've had ice sculptures out. You know, holiday music. In the past, we've had a Santa walking around downtown. Years ago, we partnered with the local schools and had carolers coming around. It made it an experience, and people wanted to come out, and they wanted to do more than just shop. And then some of the restaurants would do specials or a holiday drink that we could promote, but you have to work together, and everybody has to promote it. So holidays are definitely like any time of year. Like, you can do it in the spring, you can do fall, you can do winter, you can do a summer summer bash. There's always an event you can create.
Yeah, even right now, September, it's like back to school moms unite. We got this.
We're all going crazy together. Good luck getting me out in the morning.
Right.
So yeah, I definitely think in-store events are super beneficial, whether you're, you know, inside your own shop or you're partnering with someone else. Whatever size business you are, you can do an event and get people excited.
Yeah, zoom in. Think about your shop, your brand, your products, your vendors, your makers, and then try to zoom out as well. So think about community. Who's in the community that you can collab with? If it's service providers, if you're in a product-based business, or vice versa, where it's like sky's the limit when you can extend and zoom out, you see more opportunities.
Yeah, and I think we've definitely hit a good spot where we can stop for today. But if you're looking for more information on how to make in-store events work for you, we are working on an online digital download workbook course that you can get off our website and use. And I think it's a really good stepping stone to help get you started, to get the, you know, get the brain going, get your some ideas going. So you can definitely check out for that. We'll, once we have it up and going, we'll have it in our show notes, on our website, on Facebook.
These are all things that we wished we knew when we started. So it's a nice little
It's all our information brain dump.
Yes, exactly.
So thanks for tuning in with us today. We've definitely covered a lot about in-store events. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram at Brewed Business Podcast. You can shoot us an email or visit our website at brewedbusiness.com. And we'll see you next time.
See ya.